Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. We had a program several weeks ago, on May 15th to be exact, where we showed from the scriptures that we are under law today. Not the Old Testament law, but the New Testament law, the law of Christ. A caller that evening then made an astute point. If we are under law, and he agreed we are, then once saved, always saved is not true, and salvation by faith only is not true. He was correct on both points. The next week we dealt with once saved, always saved, and this week we plan to discuss salvation by faith only. The reason the fact that we are under law today proves salvation by faith only is wrong is because if we're under divine law, obedience to that law is obviously demanded, and not just faith only. We can tell from many passages that salvation is not by faith only. For example, Mark 16:16a reads, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." You see how that's not faith only. Belief by itself is not enough. It takes submission to baptism also, according to Jesus in that verse. The 1956 version of the Methodist Creed book read this way, and I think it's still in there. "Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." Now that stands in stark contrast to James 2:24, which reads, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Here's what the Methodist Creed book says. "Wherefore, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort." But James 2:24 says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Now let me ask you this question. Would you feel comfortable belonging to a church whose creed book contradicts the Bible in such a plain and direct way? I wouldn't. Salvation is not by faith only. The Bible teaches in many places it's not by faith only. It teaches in many places that salvation is by faith. But it never says faith only. As a matter of fact, the only place in the Bible where those two words are used together like that is James 2:24, when it says salvation is not by faith only. Not by faith only. If you have a Bible question on this or any other topic, any other Bible topic, call us at 877-655-6755. That's 877-655-6755. You can call in about this Bible topic or any Bible topic. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 reads, "In being made perfect, He," that's talking about Jesus, "became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." So faith alone is not enough. Obedience is required by this verse in order to receive eternal salvation. Well, that's what it says. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. That means if we don't obey Jesus, we don't receive eternal salvation. That means that faith, that would mean that faith only is not true. It also takes obedience. You see the same thing in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So it's not enough just to believe in the Lord. We must also do God's will in order to go to heaven, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:21. Salvation, then, is not by faith only. I know most churches teach it that way, but it's not by faith only, according to God. According to the Bible. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are open if you want to try to get in. Another verse I'd like you to consider is Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Here's how that verse reads. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So calling on the name of the Lord is obviously necessary to salvation. Now, let's continue reading at verse 14. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Do you see how this passage makes it clear that one can't call on the name of the Lord until after they have believed? Isn't that what it says? How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? Verse 14. That's what the verse says. And since verse 13 makes this calling on God necessary to salvation, and verse 14 says we have to believe first before we call, then that proves one is not saved until after they believe, when they call on God. You see what I mean? Verse 13 says you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Verse 14 says that comes after you believe. That would mean that salvation comes after you believe, when you call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation, then, is proven by this text, Romans 10, 13 and 14. It's not by faith only. 877-655-6755. But just what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Many think it means we ask God to save us. And it does in a sense, but not verbally. Instead, it means we ask God to save us with our obedience. We call on God to save us by doing what God said to do to be saved. To prove this, let's turn and read Acts 22:16. Here's how that text reads. And now, why tarriest thou? Or we'd say it this way in Alabama. What you waiting on? Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you see how Paul was told to call on the name of the Lord by being baptized? You see, if God has told us what to do to be saved, then if we were to ask God to save us, His response has already been made. Do what I've already told you to do to be saved. Make sense? And so if we want to ask God to save us from our sins, we ask God by doing what He said to do to be forgiven. Believe and be baptized, as we've already read in Mark 16:16. Scotty from Iowa, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, brother. I'm a first-time listener. I appreciate what you're saying. I've never heard anybody step up to say this. Most people are too scared. I just want to let you know that I appreciate what you're saying. Even in John 14:21-23, it says that if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. And that those that love Him will be loved of His Father. So we must keep His commandments in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, He'll say, go away from me, you who continue to sin. I don't know you.
Hey, Scotty, that's a great point you made. I'm going to get back to John 14, the verse you quoted, but let me add to your point by reading Revelation 22:14, which says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Talking about the heaven. And so, we must do His commandments in order to enter heaven. Scotty, you still on the line?
I am, brother. I'm driving in my car. I just pulled over. That's awesome.
Now, John 14...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, John 14:21 is saying exactly what you said. It says that if we have to keep His commandments in order to be loved by God, and we have to love God in order to love Jesus in order to be loved by the Father. Now, that's more than faith only. It's not faith only, because here it says, He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father. So it's at least faith and love. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says that the thing that avails is faith, which worketh through love. So there's at least three things that are necessary, according to Galatians 5:6. Faith, works, and love. Faith, which worketh by love, is the thing that avails. Scotty, you got some follow-up?
I do, brother. Couple things that you said. He says that the definition of loving God is to keep His commandments. So if we don't keep His commandments, we really don't love Him. If we go to church and say, how many of you love God? And everybody raises their hand. Well, then read this verse and then see how many people love God truly. Now, it doesn't mean that we completely, 100% keep the commandments of God because we're in the flesh. But what do we do when we don't keep His commandments and we're aware of it? We must repent. And that's where He's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't apply to you unless you repent. That's why if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there's no sacrifice for that sin because you know you're doing wrong, but you're not repenting. And if you don't repent, then you can't be cleansed. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from past sins, not future sins. That's exactly right.
Thank you for your call, Scotty. Scotty is so right that we have to repent to be forgiven. Acts 2:38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So to be saved from our sins, we have to repent and be baptized. Faith only is not enough. Scotty made another outstanding point, that basically keeping God's commandments is the way that we show God we love Him. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. So keeping the commandments of God is necessary to loving God. Loving God involves keeping His commandments. I hope you'll consider what the Bible has to say in that, instead of just accepting the view that's taught by so many preachers, which is incorrect. Paul from California, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Phil, go ahead with your Bible comment.
Okay. Well, I was hearing you talking about, when you first came up, you talked about once saved, always saved, and then salvation by faith only. And I agree with it that it takes more than faith, but if it weren't for the fact that once saved, always saved, humanity would have no hope because there's no way, I understand about keeping the commandment, but a person, until they die, they are in the flesh, and there's no way that they can go and keep God's commandments all the time. You always fail. I agree with the repentance, and, you repent with your mouth and ask forgiveness, and God will go and cleanse you of all sins. So I was going to challenge the thing about, I was brought up Southern Baptist, so we believe once saved, always saved, and that is our hope of salvation, that we can't lose our salvation.
Phil, thank you for your call. Phil is incorrect. Once saved, always saved is not true. We read a passage a few weeks ago when we dealt with once saved, always saved extensively. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, us guys were all little boys at one time, and we climbed trees. We probably fell out of a tree once or twice. You can't fall from a tree unless you were in a tree. You can't fall from grace unless you were in grace. This verse says these people were fallen from grace. That means they were in grace, and then they were out of grace. They were saved, and they lost their salvation because they did not live faithfully to God. Revelation 3:5 says, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This shows that if we don't overcome, God will blot our name out of the book of life. Our name gets in the book of life when we're saved. If it's blotted out, that means we're not saved any longer. This implies that if we don't overcome, God will blot our name out, meaning we were saved and then we lost our salvation. Once saved, always saved is just not true. It's a license to sin, and God never gives us a license to sin. Rusty from Utah, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in 1972 and was baptized by water in 2006. And what you're saying there, I agree, but Jesus also said, and Paul said it too, that nothing can take you away from God. I have no religion, no denomination, because when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he wasn't Catholic, he wasn't Baptist, he wasn't Mormon, he wasn't any of those denominations that are here now. He was God. And I believe everything in the Bible, I try to follow as best I can. If I feel that I'm sinning of any of the Ten Commandments, plus one more, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your brother as yourself. If sin comes upon or I'm tempted by the devil, the best way to keep your life, your spiritual life with God and the Son, is to turn from sin. So, in other words, when I was young, I adored women terribly. When I got older, I have more respect for them. I do not look lower than the chin. And when they walk by, I don't turn around and look back. I'm 67 years old, and I feel that I'm saved, and that when I pass away, this body, that I will be in heaven.
Rusty, before we get off the line here, let me encourage you to do something. Don't join one of those denominations that was... But why not find a congregation like you read about in the New Testament, a congregation that's faithfully following His Word, and become a member of one of those congregations instead of one of these denominations that you can't read about in the Bible? Trish, go ahead with the Bible question or comment, please, from Montana.
Yes. I was just listening to your radio show just for a short amount of time, and I'm driving, but I did think about in Romans 5 and how Paul talks about grace and how grace abounds. He also talks about living in the flesh that we do every day. So how much more grace abounds in our everyday life in living in our flesh? Is Jesus Christ not enough in His death on the cross? Is it not enough to cover our sins, the sins that we have now and that we repent from daily as we should, and the sins that we don't always repent from? Is that going to send us to hell? Is Jesus' blood, is it not enough? Is His grace and His mercy of God our Father,
God's,
to love
us
and without ever have anyone question their salvation?
Trish, it's definitely enough. The death of Christ is enough. But notice when Simon the sorcerer sinned, here's what Peter told him in Acts 8:22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Simon had become a Christian. Then he had sinned. Peter told him, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. You're not saved anymore, and you need to repent so you can be forgiven. That implies that if he did not repent, he would not be forgiven, he would not be saved. The blood of Christ is enough, but Luke 13:3 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, we were talking about Acts 22:16, and how that it shows that when a person is baptized, that's when he calls upon the name of the Lord. Proving then that you have to be baptized, you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and that comes after belief, so salvation is not by faith only. Now this happened 3 days after Saul believed. If salvation is by faith only, then Saul would have been saved on the road to Damascus when he believed. And this is exactly when Baptists say Saul was saved, on the road to Damascus when he believed. But at least 3 days later, Ananias is telling Saul to do something, be baptized, to do something to get his sins washed away. Again, this proves salvation at the point of faith, or by faith only, is simply not true. Last verse before we get back to our next call. Romans 10:9-10 reads, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is another text that proves salvation is not at the point of faith. According to this passage, we have to also confess Christ in order to be saved. And one can't honestly confess that he believes in Christ unless he believes first. Therefore, salvation has to come after one believes. Salvation is not by faith only. Let me repeat. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says you got to not only believe, but to confess Christ to be saved. Confess comes after faith. So salvation can't be by faith only. It requires at least faith and confession, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10. It is so simple if you'll just accept what the Bible actually says instead of what man says. Rusty, you're back on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was cut off. I was hearing you, and I was cut off in mid-sentence, so I didn't hear what you said. And it might be because I'm about 8,403 foot up in a mountain right now.
Do you have any quick follow-up?
Well,
make a quick follow-up.
That's Romans 9, verse 10.
Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 shows we have to believe and confess. It's not belief only, but it's belief and confession. Roger from Tennessee, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I'm just commenting, kind of supporting your resolve. Revelations chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, I'll say it real quick. And when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now, if salvation is eternal, how is he able to go into the nations, even after the 1,000 years reign, and grab people and cause them to be in battle with God against the saints?
Well, you know, we receive eternal life, spiritual life, when we're saved, Roger, but that doesn't mean we can't lose it.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, I mean, here it's telling you this is even like way in the future from what we really look at now as far as time, and this is after a 1,000-year reign, yet it's telling us Satan is still able to deceive these people, whereas if you go through the previous chapters, pretty much everybody who's evil has been taken off the planet.
Roger, thank you for your call.
Okay, bye.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Now, why would that warning be in the Bible if it's impossible for us to fall? Salvation is not by faith only. We've pointed out a number of times on this program that, yes, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. But also, the walls of Jericho fell by grace, Joshua 6, 2. Through faith, Hebrews 11, 30, not of works, Joshua 24, 13. But that doesn't mean that the Israelites didn't have to do anything for God to knock the walls down. They had to walk around those walls 13 times in 7 days. So just because salvation is by faith doesn't mean we don't have to do anything. Remember, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, talking about Jesus, it says, "He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So belief by itself is not enough. We not only have to believe, we have to obey. As one of our callers pointed out, John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And John 15, 14, "You are my friends if you keep my commandments." And so we have to not only believe, but we have to keep God's commandments in order to be saved. And when we fail to keep his commandments, another caller pointed out, we have to repent. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Implying that if we refuse to confess, if we refuse to repent, God won't forgive us. We lose our salvation. Salvation is not by faith only. Obedience is also required. We appreciate you listening this evening. If you'd like to discuss this further, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com.